We want to underscore again that we're coming to Chicago peacefully, but whether we're given permits or not, we're coming.
We're going to Chicago to protest the Vietnam War.
And there's no place to be right now but in it.
Amigos de la charla, ¿cómo están? Entramos ya a la tercera semana de octubre y como ya lo he mencionado muchas veces anteriormente aquí en la charla, sabemos que octubre marca la época en la que los estudios empiezan a sacarse los ases de la manga, es decir, empiezan a lanzar sus mejores películas, sus aspirantes a las grandes premiaciones del próximo año, sean los Oscars, por supuesto, el premio mayor, o sean los Golden Globes, los premios BAFTA, los SAG Awards, Directors Guild, etcétera, etcétera, etcétera. Los estudios Netflix son quienes se adelantan y son los primeros en sacar su primera aspirante a las premiaciones el próximo año y es una película espectacular de Aaron Sorkin, este gran director y gran guionista. Si no saben a ciencia cierta de quién estoy hablando, les voy a dar una repasada ligera de la carrera del señor Aaron Sorkin. Él empezó realmente como guionista y vamos a nombrar algunas, solamente algunas de sus películas. A Few Good Men, en 1992, por supuesto. Malice, The American President, escritor de la gran serie The West Wing. The West Wing, imagínense. Más adelante también sería escritor de la serie The Newsroom. Charlie Wilson's War, por supuesto, él también fue el guionista de esa gran historia. Otra de la que definitivamente no nos podemos olvidar es The Social Network, la historia de Facebook. Más adelante, otra gran ganadora del Oscar, Moneyball. También, por supuesto, escribió Steve Jobs. Y la última vez que lo entrevisté fue en el 2017 por Molly's Game, esa gran película protagonizada por Jessica Chastain. Esta es su segunda vez como director. Y la película se llama The Trial of the Chicago 7. Una película espectacular, impresionante. Y bueno, también tenemos que decir quiénes son los protagonistas de The Trial of the Chicago 7. Nada más y nada menos que Eddie Redmayne, Sacha Baron Cohen, Jeremy Strong, Mark Rylance, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Frank Langella, Michael Keaton. Vamos. Un elenco de primera para una gran historia del gran Aaron Sorkin. Como ya sabemos, o como se habrán dado cuenta en estos momentos que les estoy diciendo la trayectoria de este gran escritor y director, él se especializa en historias de la vida real. Él se complica la vida de esa manera, pero lo amamos por eso mismo. Entonces les voy a hablar, antes de presentar esta entrevista con Aaron Sorkin, sobre The Trial of the Chicago 7. Los protagonistas de lo que iba a ser una protesta pacífica durante la Convención Nacional Demócrata en el año 1968. ¿Por qué protestaban estos jóvenes? Protestaban porque pues este había sido el verano más sangriento en Vietnam. Y también protestaban, aunque no suene algo pues muy contemporáneo, protestaban contra el abuso policial. Lo que iba a ser una protesta pacífica se convierte en una batalla violentísima, campal, en que se mete la policía y la Guardia Nacional. Los protestantes pues salen golpeados, maltratados, y los organizadores, entre los que figuraban Tom Hayden, una figura muy querida de la política en California, en que en paz descanse, ellos fueron acusados de conspiración para incitar una revuelta. Y el juicio posterior definitivamente fue uno de los más notorios de la historia de Estados Unidos. Así que después de esta breve sinopsis y esta breve introducción, les dejo mi entrevista con el gran Aaron Sorkin, que fue una entrevista breve pero muy enriquecedora. Que la disfruten.
You really think there's going to be a big audience? Here I am.
This is what revolution looks like, real revolution. We may have to hurt somebody's feelings.
Is this prosecution politically motivated?
I'm tired of hearing you.
It would be impossible for me to care any less what you are tired of. Here
I am. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Danielle. How are you?
Very, very nice to see you again. The last time that I interviewed you, it was like normal times. It was from Molly's game.
I know, I remember.
Thank you so much for being with us,
it's
Mr. Aaron Sorkin. Welcome to La Charla.
Thank you.
Well, all right. Let's start by talking about that amazing cast of yours. There are no strangers to Oscars and Emmys and BAFTAs and Golden Globes and so on, just like you, right? All of them know.
It is a phenomenal cast, really phenomenal cast. When I would show up at the set in the morning, I felt like somebody was tossing me the keys to a Formula One race car. And all I had to do was not put the car in the wall and these guys were going to win the race.
Pretty sure that they felt exactly the same when they said, okay, it was written, it's going to be written and directed by Aaron Sorkin. Okay, I mean, this is an Oscar winner.
it was very nice. You know, awards notwithstanding, I think people felt like this was a movie they wanted to be in because it was saying something they wanted to say. So I'm grateful we got the cast that we got for, by the way, everyone was paid minimum. Everyone was paid scale. So this was a labor of love for everybody. We just didn't have the money to pay them their normal fees.
It was a labor of love. And I think also all of them, just like you, have a lot of conscience about that. You're conscious about the moment in history that we're living. And the trial of the Chicago 7 has a lot to teach us and a lot to remind us.
You're 100% right. You know, we thought the film was relevant when we were making it last winter. I thought the film was relevant when I was writing it before that. We didn't need it to get more relevant, but it
did. And we did.
When suddenly there are protesters in the streets of Minneapolis, Kenosha, Lexington, Kentucky, Washington, D.C., here in Los Angeles. And those protesters are being met by tear gas and nightsticks and rubber bullets. Protest is being demonized as un-American again. People with darker skin than mine are being told to go back where they came from, even if where they came from is here. It is 1968 all over again. And, you know, the film was always supposed to be about today. It was never supposed to be about 1968. But I never in my wildest dreams imagined how much about today it would be.
And I was precisely talking about that with Eddie Redmayne a couple of weeks ago when I was interviewing him for the film. It left me with two thoughts. We gotta keep fighting, and at the same time, haven't we learned our lesson?
Sure. You're first hit with the feeling of exactly what you said. We did this already. We did this already. Why are we doing it again? We know how badly it turns out. It's like taking the wrong turn twice off a dark country road. But then I hope that there's some inspiration at the end, that it honors protest, that you get to see that protest isn't unpatriotic. It is patriotic. You're caring about your country. And what we learned then in 1968 and what we're learning right now with an election just 20-odd days away, is that democracy doesn't happen automatically by itself. You have to fight for it, you have to defend it, or it will be replaced by something else.
As a journalist, I'm going to ask you for a number. I hope you can give it to me. How much of your job do you think it's being a journalist, an investigative reporter, and how much of it is just being a writer and a director? Because 99% of your work throughout the years has been telling real life stories, and you had to do an incredible amount of research for each one of your stories.
Yes. One of these days I would love to write a movie about something I know about so that I don't have to go back to school for 4 years just to write a screenplay. So yes.
I think it's going
to
happen. You wouldn't be Aaron Sorkin otherwise.
There's a lot of research, the kind of research a journalist would do before you write the film. But then you have to remember that what you're writing isn't journalism. There is a difference between art and journalism, that what you're doing isn't a photograph, it's a painting. That whereas journalism is required to be objective, art is required to be subjective. And you take a story, a true story, you don't pervert important facts at all, but you have an obligation as a writer, in this case a screenwriter, to understand that people don't speak in dialogue, that a person's life doesn't lay out as a series of scenes that form a narrative, that's something that writers do.
As the consequence of the times that we're living, the COVID pandemic, do you think there will be more stories a la Aaron Sorkin? Or because, you know, we cannot do a lot of special effects and superheroes and science fiction. There's going to be, I think, going back to the basics and, well, I don't know. What do you think about it?
I hope what you just said is right. Listen, I don't want to see people who do special effects. I don't want them out of work at all.
Of course not.
But listen, if there's a period of back to the basics, I'm all about the basics. I don't know how to do much more than the basics.
I think that reality beats always fiction. You find so many stories in reality that are just amazing.
You do. And, you know, it's up to the writer how you're going to tell that story. I think that if you lined up 10 screenwriters and asked them all to write a story about the Chicago 7, you could get 10 very different movies, and each of them valid.
None of them are going to be nominated next year, though.
You
are very humble. You know that you will. And all your cast as well. What is your next project? What are you, I mean, if you can tell us a little bit.
I have a next project, which I'm not allowed to tell you about right now, but I swear as soon as we're allowed to make the announcement, I'll go to you first, okay?
And before we finish, what would you tell to a kid, a young guy listening to the podcast when it comes to writing, a piece of advice of Mr. Aaron Sorkin?
Sure. Write. Just do it. You won't be good at it at first. nobody is. But if you're having fun, just keep doing it and you'll get better. You know what might be fun? If just pick one of your favorite movies and put that movie on and watch it. Get a copy of the screenplay, and screenplays are pretty easy to get nowadays. Get a copy of the screenplay and read along with the movie as you're watching it. So you can see what your favorite movie looked like when it was on the page before it got to the screen. And that'll help you sort of figure out, oh, this is how screenplays work. And then the other thing I would say, stay true to your own voice. Don't try to imitate someone else. Well, you can be influenced by someone else's voice, but write like yourself. Right. Good luck. I can't wait to see your movies.
Aaron, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to interview you.
It's been my pleasure.
You.
Thank you.
And I'll see you at the award shows. I don't know if it's going to be in person or not, but I'll see you there definitely.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Open your eyes, cause a new day is dawning. darkest dawn.